welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning on GCN, we expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with the military, and with economic schemes. If you listen, we'll open your eyes and hopefully change your mind towards each of these things upon which most people foolishly cling. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to help you understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines, while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms, by way of his one and only covenant, and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with God's guidance, you will be able to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you would like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. This morning, we have as our guest a gentleman who I respect a great deal. He, in my opinion, and I think I know a fair amount about this particular topic, is the most knowledgeable and articulate spokesperson in the world on the religion of Islam. He understands the religion as well as anyone alive, and he has the courage to tell people the truth. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. He resides in Europe. He is the author of a number of books on Islam. His books on Islam are transcriptions of presentations that he has made that are recorded on YouTube, I believe. His book is called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. There are volumes 1, 2, and 3 in that series. And you can find his books by going to Amazon, Lifting the Veil, or typically the best way to find anyone who has a message that you want more people to hear is always to Google it. And in this case, I would encourage you to Google Lifting the Veil IQ for the first two letters of IQ's name, IQ Al-Rasuli, and you'll come directly to his books. IQ, how are you this morning?
I'm extremely ecstatic and happy to be on your show. Don't forget, it's the first time.
Oh, yes, that's true. So that folks know, we were introduced either through a mutual friend, a gentleman who has been on this show now twice, Jerry McLaughlin, who is the founder and president of Special Guest, which is the leading publicist organization for experts to radio and television programs, or it was through our mutual friend Dave Chafin in KGAB, the Clear Channel station in Wyoming, whom you also do a with whom you also do a regular program. So we have we've had the opportunity to meet via email. We have met sharing time on various radio programs, and what we're going to do today, and what I hope we do as a regular, on a regular basis, is that I would like IQ to present his perspective on a whole series of topics related to Islam. And rather than just being a listener, I'd like to be a participant with him in those discussions, affirming where I agree, probing where I may differ. And differing is a good thing. It's because as it relates to Islam, on all of the important issues, we have studied the same evidence and have come to the same conclusions. As a matter of fact, I think it's the only rational conclusions that are impossible. And so what we hope to do is to have a whole series of encounters like this with IQ, and together to help everyone understand Islam. Now, the reason that before we introduce IQ and give him a chance to speak about his background, the reason that we would devote the first hour of many programs to this one topic, Islam, is because of several reasons. One is that Islam is the single most disruptive topic in the news. 1.5 billion people are negatively affected by Islam directly for having lived in Islamic countries, which are the most impoverished places on earth in every possible way. And second, 99.9% of terrorism in the world is perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. Also, according to Yahweh's scriptural prophecies, it is Islamic countries that will form a league and that will begin World War III by attacking Israel initially, but it will spread to a worldwide war. And so there are very few things that influence our future as much as Islam. And also through the lens of Islam, I think we get to see the malfeasance of our governments more than we can witness it in any other venue. So there is so much to learn from coming to understand Islam that I think just focusing on it and devoting many programs to it will serve everyone. So with that introduction, IQ, would you share with our listeners a little of your background and how you came to this place in life?
I don't mind doing that to start with, but will you give me a few more minutes, because I would like to introduce our listeners to Islam from my
Please.
Point of view, because I grew up. You see, whenever anyone in the West discusses the subject of Muhammad and Islam, they try their utmost to be politically correct and hence misinform and actually deceive their listeners in both the USA and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the fact that I am of Iraqi origin and my mother tongue is Arabic, and I've been studying and researching the subject of Muhammad, his Quran, his Sunnah, Sharia, Arab-Islamic conflict, Arab imperialism, the Hebrew Bible, the Christian Bible, and other related subjects for the last 30 years, I am most definitely politically incorrect. That is why I'm invariably accused by Muslims and their half-wit supporters of being racist, ignorant, aggressive, intolerant, etc. Probably I may sound like this, but I should be judged not on the manner of my speech, but precisely on the contents of my revelation. So do you mind if I go on?
No, let me add some things to what you just said, if I might, reinforce some of the things you just said. On this program, IQ, we constantly reinforce the importance of listening to the message as opposed to slandering the messenger, which is a natural tendency. Second, we always emphasize the fact that being tolerant of that which is merciless is indeed merciless, and that only those who are willing to be intolerant of that which is harmful are compassionate. And so the very act of being intolerant against something that is as rotten as Islam, is as uncivilized and as lethal as Islam, is amongst the most loving and compassionate things a human being can do. So we are on we have the same perspective, and I dare say that the vast preponderance of the listeners to this program share your perspective.
May I add to what you just said?
Sure.
There's an axiom by a man called Karl Popper. I'll read it to you. Or recite it, in fact. It says, unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right not to tolerate the intolerant. I love this. It is so appropriate when it comes vis-a-vis Islam.
Yeah.
The most intolerant cult belief system the world has ever experienced.
Correct.
Before I even begin addressing these issues, I would like our listeners to digest the following statement that is rarely, if ever, pointed out to audiences by the so-called scholar of Islam. Every scholar of Islam should point out to its audience, before addressing the subject of Islam, that every single piece of information that humanity has about Muhammad, his Sunnah, Hadith, the pagan Arabs, Judaized and Christian Arabs, before, during, and after Muhammad, are actually one-sided, uncorroborated, unwitnessed, inauthentic, and totally self-serving reports of the victors, Muhammad and his followers, who rewrote history to give themselves a mythical, worthy ancestry and cover up all their misdeeds and immorality. What do you
now, can I interrupt you a moment there, IQ? There is more to that than what you just said. What you just said is absolutely correct. and there are very few sources that date to within 200 years of Muhammad's death. I'm aware of only five Islamic sources that date to within 200 years of Muhammad's death. But one of the things that is really intriguing about Islam is that when you compare the Hebrew Torah prophets and Psalms, which have tens of thousands of prophecies, all of which have either come true or are on the cusp of coming true, and not one has been inaccurate, there are no prophecies that are accurate in the whole of the Quran. And what's most interesting about the Quran is it can't even get history right. Almost all of the statements, almost all of the historical statements that are found in the Quran are historically inaccurate. So we should not be surprised that Muslims have rewritten their own history. Their Quran is errant historically.
Agreed, 100%. According to Islamic scripture and history, by the way, no one, not even Muhammad's most beloved child bride, Aisha, ever heard or witnessed Muhammad and the angel Gabriel talk to each other. All that humanity has, after all, are the assertions of a demonic man called Muhammad, that he communed with an angel called Gabriel, the messenger of Allah, without a single witness to corroborate his contemptible claims. I mean, yes. This is also in the Quran and Hadith.
Yes, it is.
All that humanity has is the word of a man who has not had a single witness, not a primary, not a secondary, not a tertiary.
Yeah. Now the difference between
that, we have billions of people believing in him.
Well, it's worse than that, IQ. Again, everything you said is true, only up to a point. It is true that all the world has is Muhammad's word on this, whether or not he can be trusted. Now, while he claimed that it was the angel Gabriel, as my listeners know, there's no such thing as an angel. They are Malak. They are Yahweh's messengers. And there are fallen Malak, demons. You mentioned the term demons and demonic. The fact of the matter is that the Quran speaks of jinn, who are demons, and Muhammad himself claimed to be demon-possessed. But the most important aspect of what you said is that Muhammad, of all men in the world, is the least trustworthy witness that you can even imagine based upon what is said about him. And IQ, when we return after the break, we'll speak just a moment about why Muhammad would be the least trusted human ever. You can join this discussion by calling 877-300-7645, although I have to warn you, as much as I enjoy our guest, Al-Rasuli, it will be tough to get any word edgewise between us, so I hope you enjoy listening to the conversation. IQ has written a series of books. I would strongly encourage you to buy his books. Books are called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. He has volumes 1, 2, and 3. They can be purchased at Amazon or Author House, either way. And you can find him and his books by either Googling Lifting the Veil, IQ, or by going directly to Al Rasuli, Al Rasuli.com. Now, when we came out there just before the break, IQ, we were speaking about the fact that Muhammad could well be perceived, be presented, based upon what we know about him, as among the least trustworthy people in all of human history. And I want make a statement here, then I want you to elaborate. What's interesting about the Quran, which Muhammad says was dictated directly by, through an angel via Allah, is that there really is no distinction between the Quran and Hadith. The Hadith, which are all reports from Muhammad and his companions, came from exactly the same lips, were conceived by exactly the same mind, and were passed on for generations in exactly the same way, which is hearsay, And therefore, when you actually look at the Quran and Hadith, the Quran is Hadith. It's an oral report from Muhammad whose merit can be no greater than the trustworthiness of this one man. Now, I say that he's one of the least trustworthy humans in all of history. But what do you think about this comparison between the Hadith and the Quran and the fact that we have a singular source for both of them?
It's true, whatever you said. By the way, let me give figures to the listeners. The number of Hadiths that were collected by six major collectors of Hadiths, which is tradition of Islam, from Bukhari, Muslim, Majah, Tirmidhi, Dawood, they collected over 1 million stories about Muhammad in the course of 25 to 30 years. Over 1 million stories. Out of them, only 5,700 can be corroborated to be true. So, of course, the hadiths are false. 99% they are wrong.
Yes.
Everything that we have about Islam is a lie, is a myth.
Right.
Every single item is a myth. Before the break, I said something. I'm going to repeat it to the listeners. As far as I'm concerned, depending of our studies, I spent 30 years of studies. Not a single letter, let alone a word, a chapter, or a verse in the Quran has ever been revealed to Muhammad by any God called Allah or any entity called Gabriel. Because every letter, every word, every ayah, verse, and every surah chapter in the Quran are the product of the imaginings of Muhammad. It is the secretions of his warped mind, his alter ego, his autobiography, but very cleverly projected into the unsuspecting mouth of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of authenticity and sanctity. Back to you.
Yeah, we are in almost complete agreement on what you've just said. There's only one minor differentiation between what you said and what I have concluded. When I wrote Prophet of Doom, what I came to conclude after being in the material for a better part of 3 or 4 years is that Muhammad and Allah were one. That when Muhammad spoke of Allah, he was speaking of himself. And that he literally was the embodiment of his God. And that almost all of the Quran is situational scriptures. What I call by situational scriptures, what I meant was that Muhammad spoke them to satiate his own personal money. And that the vast preponderance of the Quran is nothing more than Muhammad creating a situational scripture for the express purpose of serving his own lusts. And I think that it is the only informed and rational conclusion that can be drawn. Now, up to that point, we are in complete agreement. Now, I'm going to add something to it that I think is worth considering. I do think that Muhammad was right when he claimed during his first experience in the cave that he encountered a demon. He said he was demon-possessed. Muhammad claimed at the end of his life that he had a demon permanently associated with him. He claimed during his life and in the Quran that all of Allah's messengers speak on behalf of Satan. And so I do think that there is some satanic inspiration in the Quran. That means that it did not come from God and it did not come from Gabriel, but it did come from Satan. And there are two other influences in the Quran that I think also help shape it. We'll speak of that when we return.
Hi.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada, and we have today a most special guest, IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ is the author of a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You can find him at alrasuli.com. IQ, the statement that you made in terms of the inspiration for the Quran coming wholly from Muhammad's twisted and perverted mind, and he was a twisted and perverted individual. There's no question that he was amongst the most perverted individuals who ever lived, according to what little is known about him from the Hadith and the Quran. But I would share that in my opinion, Muhammad wasn't bright enough to, nor was he honest enough to make it up all by himself. I think he had some help. And let me share what I think be some of the sources that he twisted, plagiarized, to give a veneer of authenticity to the rubbish that is now known as his Quran. I think initially he began to recite the poems of Hanifs in Yemen, who were pagans in Yemen, and his initial Quran surahs bear stunning similarity to their poetry, and just plagiarized it. Second, Muhammad's rants in Mecca are almost exclusively, as you describe them, Muhammad coming up with Quran recitals specifically to position himself in a place where he gets more sex, power, and money. From that point, though, there is a considerable amount of influence of the pagan Arab traditions, Qusay, one of his ancestors, and what happened around the Kaaba, and almost all of the pagan traditions that occurred in Arabia have been incorporated into the Quran. And then moving on to Yathrib, Muhammad admits in the Quran to buying Talmud stories from rabbis there, and the religiosity of his Quran, where he mentions twisted versions of Adam and Noah and Abraham et al., are all because he didn't know these stories. He wasn't inspired as it relates to these stories. He purchased Talmud readings from Jews and then twisted them to suit his agenda. Now, all of that, I would add one other source of inspiration, which is that in the Quran does a perfect job of one thing, and that is that it creates for the adversary, Hasatan, the Hebrew word for the adversary, exactly what he wants, which is to be worshipped as God. And so, to the greatest extent possible, Islam is Satan as Allah, being worshipped as God, because that's what he craves most of all. And so I think there is probably 10 to 20% of the Quran was demonically inspired, and then there are aspects of it that were inspired by other traditions, which Muhammad simply took and twisted to make his recital seem more credible. As you would say now, back to you, my friend.
I have no problem with that, but in my books, I always said, I repeatedly said, made to order revelations. Every single revelation in the Quran is made to order. He decided the revelation always to explain away as something he had done wrong and vile,
yes,
or
yes,
to justify something he had done wrong and vile.
Not or something he wanted, or something
now. Sorry.
Yeah, or something that he wanted to do in the future that was going to be disgusting and vile.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes.
So far, it's amazing.
Yes, yes. Now, typically, IQ, you know, you've come out of Iraq, where 99% of the population is Islamic, and where doing what you are doing would cost you your life. The fact that Islam is a complete and utter farce, the fact that it is absolutely untrue and unworthy of anyone's devotion is one thing. But it's another thing altogether to risk your life to expose it. So why is it, IQ, that you have gone beyond simply coming to understand that the Quran is rubbish, that Muhammad was perverted, and that Islam is false, to devoting so much of your energy at such great risk to exposing and condemning it?
Well, in Iraq, I didn't have access to a lot of books. My father, I was very lucky. My father was a secular person. He actually imported books. He purchased books from England and an M from America. He was very powerful in the English language. He loved classical music, which is practically unheard of in the Middle East. That's why I love classical music. I love reading. So when I went to Europe to study, and I was able to access information, I was trying to find out what the Quran was saying about the Bible, because I checked the Bible after that. And what I found, that the Bible and the Quran do not agree on almost on nothing. Nothing in the Quran is actually a replica of the Bible. It's all a perversion.
Now, can I interrupt you again here? Let me interrupt you again here. And I don't want to be rude, because you are the most articulate, most knowledgeable spokesperson in the world on this. And so I should probably be doing more listening. But it's one of my worst traits is that when somebody says something that I think can be expounded upon, I have this bad habit of jumping in. So please excuse me. But there is a reason that it is appropriate to compare the Quran to the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And the reason is that the Quran, in multiple places, claims to confirm the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and Allah claims to be the God who inspired the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. So if, in fact, the Torah, prophets, and Psalms aren't the same as the Quran, then Allah lied. Now, if there is an Allah, the Quran's primary claim that it confirms the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and that it was inspired by the same God who appeared to Abraham, if that is untrue, then Islam is untrue. It's as simple as that. You cannot be, therefore, an informed and rational Muslim if you read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms and compare them to the Quran, because they are the antithesis of one another. Allah and Yahweh have nothing in common. They are absolute opposites. And the teaching of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and the revelation in the Quran are the antithesis of one another. As a matter of fact, when it comes to the 10 statements that Yahweh etched in stone, that have been miscalled the Ten Commandments, Muhammad himself violated all 10 of them.
I'm laughing because it's true.
It is.
I'm laughing. I'll tell you why. I can literally and utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran.
Yes.
In 20 different ways, in less than 60 seconds each way. It sounds like a brag, doesn't it? Yeah. It sounds like a boast. Do you mind if I do that in less than 60 seconds?
Oh, please, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I have to go to the Christian sources to do that. Let me get it right. According to the Quran, Allah revealed the Gospels to Jesus and the Torah, which is the Pentateuch, to Moses. Okay. If this is the case, and if Allah is the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, I'm going to recite to you verses from the Quran with chapter and verse, but nobody can say it's a lie. Al-Ma'idah is the name of the chapter, chapter 5, verse 46. It says, we sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the Torah, which is the 5 books of Moses, that have come before him. We sent him the Gospels, Injil in Arabic. Therein was guidance and light and confirmation of the Torah that had come before him. A guidance and an admonition to those who fear Allah. So Allah revealed, according to the Quran, the Gospels to Jesus and the Torah to Moses. But there is another verse. In this verse, Allah asserts that he revealed not only the Gospels and to Jesus and the Peter to Moses. It says the following. Al-Nisa 4.157. They say in boast, that's regarding Jesus, we killed the Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah. And the verse continues, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubt with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please, I want you to reflect. In this verse, Allah asserts that Jesus did not die on the cross, but a lookalike did. In the previous verse, assuming that Allah did reveal the Gospels to Jesus, the same. Jesus died on the cross. But also people who know the gospel should know also that Jesus did not write the gospels. Jesus did not leave the gospels. The gospels were written 50 to 150 years after Jesus was dead. So, ladies and gentlemen, how could Allah, who revealed the gospel of Jesus and all four gospels stood beyond a reasonable doubt that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later, how is it possible that Allah is the same as the God of Jesus?
The reality is far worse than what you've just said. First of all, the Quranic name that you have been citing as Jesus, what is that, IQ?
It says Christ Jesus.
Don't translate it. What is the name in the Quran that is alleged to be Jesus?
Al-Masih.
Pardon?
Al-Masih
Isa.
Is Jesus.
Isa, right?
Isa al-Masih, yes.
Yes, Isa. Isa is a is an Arabic transliteration of Esau. Esau is the one person Yahweh calls out in his Torah, prophets, and Psalms to say, I hate him. And he hates him because he embraced Ishmael's religion. Ishmael's religion is Islam. The actual name of the Masiah is Yahusha. In Arabic, because Arabic is actually a derivative of Hebrew, the letters exist because they're the exact same letters in Arabic as in Hebrew to correctly write Yahusha's name. The fact that Yahusha's name is written in the supposedly perfect Quran as Isa is absolutely proof that the Quran is a lie. Now, there's far more to it than that. We're going to get to gospel, which is Injil in the Quran, and to speak of what that actually is and how it differs from Yahweh's testimony. There is so much to learn, and there's so much depth of knowledge that comes from IQ al-Rasuli. We'll be back in a moment. To Shattering Myths. I am Yada, your host, and we are with my favorite guest, one of my very favorite people in the world, IQ al-Rasuli. You can find him at alrasuli.com or Google his book, Lifting the Veil, and then add IQ after it, and you'll come directly to his material. Just before the break, IQ made a number of statements that prove, as he suggested, that it is absolute evidence that the statements in the Quran are untrue. One of the really other interesting things about what you said is that written Arabic didn't even exist at the time that Yahusha fulfilled the Torah. Didn't even exist. So what is called the Gospels, and that's it's an erroneous term. It's based upon the Greek Evangelion, and it's presented as Injil, I believe, in the Quran. It is impossible for them to have been revealed in Arabic, as written Arabic didn't even exist at the time. Written Arabic is a derivative of Syriac, which was a blending of Aramaic and Hebrew, and it was done by Syriac Christians for the express purpose of having a written tool to communicate with the illiterate Arabs. So at the time even that Muhammad revealed his Quran, written Arabic did not exist. And so if you go back 5 to 6 centuries before then, there was no written language of Arabic, which makes it impossible for the claim to be true. And, of course, when you're reading the eyewitness accounts that are contained in the so-called Christian New Testament, only two of which were actually by eyewitnesses, Matanyahu and Yahu Kanan, Matthew and John, both of them wrote during their lifetimes and within 25 to 50 years of the time that the events that they witnessed occurred. And they make absolute statements that are unequivocal that they themselves were the authors and eyewitnesses to these events. So everything that the Quran claims in this regard is untrue. And as our listeners know, there is no cross in Scripture. It's an upright pole. It has all to do with Passover. And the so-called resurrection isn't actually a resurrection. It's a celebration of first fruits of Bukhurim. And so all of the Quran statements regarding what occurred are also shrouded in the misconceptions of Christianity. And so once you actually understand the Torah and Yahusha, it even proves further that the Quran is untrue.
May I have one little disagreement with you?
Sure.
You repeated three times, I think, at the beginning that Islam is a religion. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is most certainly not a religion. Islam is only a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad. In fact, calling Islam peaceful ranks as one of the most egregious lies that has ever been insinuated into the human consciousness. Back to you, sir.
Okay. The issue we would have there, IQ, is the definition of religion. You see, I see all religions as cults. I see all religions as human institutions conceived to enrich and empower men and designed to lead them away from God. So I see Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Scientology, Mormonism as all being cults, large cults in many cases, but they're all myths that were specifically designed by men to lead people away from God. So I see Islam simply as the worst of a bad lot. Now, I see Islam as the worst of a bad lot, far worse than Judaism, far worse than Christianity, far worse than Hinduism, because of what Islam inspires. It inspires all good Muslims to be terrorists. It is impossible to be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist.
And, because I was going to use that.
Yes,
and to say that it's amazing. I was going to say in one of my statements was, no follower of Muhammad can ever be loyal to the American Constitution or the American people. No, to any constitution, which is not from Allah. They are all either traitors in waiting or traitors in action, but traitors they are.
Yeah, and what does Islam mean in Arabic?
That's a funny one. Islam means submission.
Correct.
It doesn't mean peace.
No.
Only submission. In any lexicon, submission. Submission to what? To the will of one God called Allah.
Yeah, and democracy, which is an expression of free will, how does that coexist with a religion named submission?
It can't. They are diametrically opposite. Sharia and democracy are a nemesis of each other. Sharia is literally is hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, duplicitous, vile, and is totally ungodly.
Yes, we agree. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our first hour, but IQ has promised that he will be back with us. We'd like to do this as a weekly meeting because there's so much to discuss. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Many Americans suffer from digestive problems, often totally unaware they're not absorbing essential nutrients from foods and supplements. Dr. Peter Glidden is aware of the importance of...